Have you ever had a dream put in your heart by God? Something that was so clear from God, and you weren't quite sure if you should tell other people about it. And when you did, others tried to tear you down. Or others tried to crush that dream. How many of you have ever experienced anything like that before? Anyone has ever experienced having a dream that God puts in your heart and then other people try to crush it? Anyone in here ever experienced that? Okay. Well, you're going to be able to resonate today with the story of Joseph. Because this week in Vacation Bible School, what we learned is no matter what, trust God. And Tim was already doing the motions right now. He's ahead of the game. We're going to have this few points brought up to you, but we want to encourage all of you. The kids learned it this week. Whenever you see a slide that's a dot, 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 the kids learned this week to say, trust God, all right? So I'm going to say it, and we're going to try it again, okay? I'm going to say no matter what, and in congregation, you're going to say, trust God, all right? So I'm going to try it right now. No matter what. Okay, some of you are still asleep. Let's try it one more time. No matter what. Very good. Our VBS kids stepped up and showed you how it was done. The story of Joseph starts in Genesis 37. And we're going to look at a few verses. It says in verse 2, when Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brother was doing. There are two things here about Joseph. Number one is that he's 17 years old, okay? 17 years old. What can God do with a 17-year-old? What can God do with a kid? And some of you in this audience, especially our VBS kids, you might think, I'm too young to be used by God. I have to wait till I'm my mommy, my daddy's age, or my grandparents' age. What can I do at 17 years old? And then there's another aspect of Joseph. It says that he reports some of the bad things that his brother were doing. So it seemed like he had a task. Some would say it was a tattletale, but this seems like an assigned task that he was to report to his father. And he gave the full-on report, but this starts to set the tone of why Joseph's brothers feel the way you did, felt the way they did. Now, kids who are in VBS this week, do you remember the story of the Roman soldier who had faith in Christ? VBS kids, you remember that story? Raise your hand if you remember that story, okay? Remember that story? Okay, here's a person on the outside who wasn't supposed to have faith in Christ, and yet he didn't let that hold him back. And the story of Joseph is a 17-year-old boy. What can God do with a 17-year-old boy? And yet Joseph, in his dedication, didn't let that hold him back. So the first lesson we learned this week, Sunday night, lesson one, is the first point that I'd like to state about Joseph. No matter who you are, trust God. Let's try that again. No matter who you are, trust God. Very good. Now, the story continues, but 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 tells us, people judge by the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Now, I want to tell you, church, it's impressive when you have Sabbath school and a child remembers the memory verse for the week. Last night, we had three children who remembered the memory verse from every single night, five memory verses. And the first one we learned was that people judge by outward appearances, but God looks at the heart, 1 Samuel 16, 7. The text goes on, Genesis 37. It tells us more about Jacob's feelings for his son. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. How many of you have ever walked into school or walked into work? Walked into a situation where you knew people were talking about you before you walked in. How many of you have ever experienced that? Everyone's being shy today, except for the little ones. The little ones are like, I've experienced it. All right. Joseph, it says here that they couldn't even find a kind word to say to them. But Joseph has a relationship with God that looks beyond the cloud of these brothers' hatred for him. Looks beyond the cloud of the fact that he's only 17-year-old. Looks beyond that cloud. Now, would it have felt good to be in Joseph's shoes? Would it have felt good to have siblings that were supposed to love you, supposed to care for you, siblings who despise you and couldn't say a kind word to you? And yet Joseph didn't let it hold him back. Because the next message we learned was, no matter how you feel, trust God. Because when we go by our feelings, it was great having Captain Brad up here talking about the controls. Especially when you get a little altitude. If you start trusting your mind, you could be doing all kinds of loopy things, all right? And there are instances where we have to trust the instruments. And Joseph trusted the word of God over the way that his brothers were trying to make him feel. And you and I have that same invitation today to trust God's promises, to trust the word of God more than how we feel. So in day two at Vacation Bible School, we learn no matter how you feel, trust God. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus tells us, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And kids, do you remember the story of Lazarus? Remember the story of Lazarus? You saw up here Araceli being laid on the table and having the paper wrapped all around her. She's saying, I'm feeling quite claustrophobic right now, okay? We also wrapped Charles up there, all right? Charles' table had to be a little bit longer, all right? But we got them all on there and we wrapped them up. And we were talking about how Lazarus' sisters felt, how the people around the village felt. They felt let down by God. And yet there came a point where they had to trust the word of God or not. And Jesus, looking around and seeing the unbelief, gives us a message. Listen, no matter how you feel, no matter how much you miss someone, no matter how bad things look, you have to look beyond the clouds. You have to look to the God behind the clouds. And you have to look for God, watch for God, and trust God. The story of Joseph goes on. It says, one night, verse 5, one night Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told the dream to his father as well to his brothers. But his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that, he asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? While his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. So, here the ground is laid for the brothers' actions. He tells them the dream that God has placed in his heart. And the brothers are angry. They've already been resenting Joseph. And now this dream that seems to say they're all going to bow before him. And the father calls him in and rebukes him also. But there seems to be a double-sided edge to dad here, where he's listening to his son, he's scolding him because he doesn't want to get in more trouble with the brothers. But there is a part of him that is starting to believe that maybe this dream isn't all Joseph's imagination. This dream is from God. Jacob starts to wonder. And so it says here that his father wondered what the dreams meant. But here's the action step that the brothers take because of this. Verse 32, all the way down, they say they sent the beautiful robe to their father. They made a plan, they made a scheme, and they have Joseph in this pit, and they don't know how to explain it to dad at all. So they take his robe, that robe that dad made for him, and they sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message. Look at what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son? Their father recognized it immediately and said, yes, it is my son's robe. So they took this robe that was the son's robe, and they wanted to make it look like something had happened to Joseph so they wouldn't be in trouble. And so they took this robe, and they dip this robe, and they bring it to the father and say, does this robe look familiar? And Jacob knows there's only one robe like that. And he says, yes, that is my son's robe. And so here Joseph is. He has been betrayed. He's been stabbed in the back. His father thinks he is gone and gone. What is Joseph to do? Joseph had a dream that was put in his heart by God. And he's sharing this dream and he's being punished for it. He's not done nothing wrong. And our VBS lesson this week, night 3, told us something that Joseph's story tells us this morning. No matter what people do, trust God. Let's try it again. No matter what people do, trust God. That's right. Joseph has got a dream from God, almost like an innocent bystander. And now, because of that dream, and perhaps he shouldn't have shared it, but because of this situation, now he is in a pit, a literal pit of despair. Because he's done nothing wrong, but he shared the dream that God put on his heart. Now, kids, do you remember the story of Jesus being arrested and put on trial, and he did nothing wrong? Do you remember that story? Remember in the youth room? Yeah. It even happened to our Lord. And I want to tell you that when things happen to you, when bad things happen, we do need to look and say, did I make a mistake? Was there some way that I took a wrong step? And sometimes in the life of Job that we looked at last time in the sermon, and in the story of Joseph, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes when you trust in God, and people look at your life, and they don't have the courage to trust in God, guess what they do? They tear you down. They throw you into the pit of despair. And that is what happened in the life of Joseph. But no matter what people do, trust God. That is the story that Joseph tells to us. Isaiah 40:31 was the third verse that we memorized this week. And it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. My friend Robin, who's my sister, I call her, she lives in Auburn, New York. And years ago, she was here, and we started ministering together when I was about 19 years old here at Paradise Valley. And we were ministering together, and she was a little bit older than me. And I remember we became brothers and sisters, and we did all kinds of fun things. And this summer, to be honest with you, all the work and everything reminded me of that summer years ago. We called it Simon Peter School of Surf, all right? We had these t-shirts and we had this logo where Simon Peter was surfing on a wave with no board. And we had Simon Peter School of Surf. And Sherry was there, the one of the baby dedication this morning. And Marcel was there. We had all these youth there. And we had a great time. We were doing awesome things by the Lord's power. But there were a few, I'll never forget, who came up to me. Robin, I won't say how much older she is, but let me just say she's older than me, and she wouldn't want me to mention how much older she is, but she's older than me by quite a few years. And her and I were always brothers and sisters. But there are a few who saw us all together. And I remember one time somebody came up to me. If you've never seen Robin, Ben Arceo, he used to be with us here, he used to call her Rockin' Robin. Tall, African-American, full of energy, full of life, hugged everybody. And he used to call her Rockin' Robin. And she would come up and say hi to people, and I would come up and say hi to people. And one day someone pulled me aside, and they loved Robin and they loved me, they said. But they said, just tell us one thing. You're not dating, are you? And I said, no, we're like brothers and sisters. And they said, oh, thank goodness. And I said, is it because of the color of her skin and the color of my skin that's such an offensive idea? And the answer was yes, that was unacceptable in this person's eyes. But the thing was, I told that story to Robin, and I was rather heated. I had not experienced anything like that before. I had always kind of thought, oh, you know, racism, race divide, that's a thing in the past. Let's move forward, let's move on. But I saw, only once in a while at church, most people were gracious, but I'd walk to the store to Ralph's with her. Viarda's used to be Ralph's. I'd walk to the store with her, and we'd get comments out the window, you know? And I said, wow, it's very much alive and well, this whole race thing. And but she told me, she said, Darren, she said, there are people in this life, and she tells me to this day, who are hemming and hawing, scratching and pecking. She said, they're the chickens. She said, they're the chickens, and they're hemming and hawing, scratching and pecking, looking around for other people to tear down. She said, you just keep soaring with the eagles, and I'm just going to keep soaring with the eagles. Let people have their hemming and hawing, scratching and pecking. We're going to soar with the eagles. The story of Joseph is these brothers are hemming and hawing, trying to scheme a way to get him to shut up, to get him in that pit away from God's call. And Joseph has a connection with God that says, you know what? Joseph, you need to soar like the eagles no matter what people do to you. No matter what people do to you, you need to soar like the eagles. And so Joseph makes that decision. Now, when you read the Bible, you read promises of God's blessing. But when you read between the lines, you really see something else. That God often weaves those blessings amidst some of the pain and some of the things that other people do, some of the things that other people say. He weaves his blessing in it. It's not just a blanket blessing. We're experiencing heaven on earth. He weaves his blessing amidst the pain, amidst the persecution, and that's what he does in the life of Joseph. So, Joseph now dedicates himself to the Lord, and it says that the Lord blessed everything he did. And we're going to read about it in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 through 7. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar. He soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing, except what kind of food to eat. Now, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him. And I put dot, dot, dot there for the little ones, all right? Dot, dot, dot. We have some problems. We have some problems. And so she comes to Joseph. And Uncle Arthur's bedtime story, Uncle Arthur's Bible story, he puts it this way. She asked him to do something that he would never, ever think about doing. She asked him to do something really bad. And he refused. And so you think, well, here's God's blessing. She asks him to do something wrong, and Joseph stands up and does the right thing. And here comes God's blessing. But remember the weaving. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't always happen instantly. The next thing that happened is Joseph is thrown into prison for obeying God. You're starting to see a pattern here in the life of Joseph? Starting to sound a little bit like Job also, isn't it? But what we learned in night number 4 is this. No matter what happens, trust God. Let's do it again. No matter what happens, trust God. Very good. Thank you, kids. Remember the story of Jesus dying and coming back to life? Kids, you remember that? Remember that on night 4? All right. The story of Jesus dying. I mean, here people kill, they take the life of Jesus, but it's not enough to stop them. It's not enough to stop them. The Lord comes back to life. Joseph, your life came out of the pit and you started to rise again, and then it went back into prison. But you know what? Stay with the Lord. You are going to soar like eagles. Don't let your outward circumstances determine how much you are going to follow the call of God. Do not let your outward circumstances determine if you're going to follow the dream that God has placed on your heart. Do not let your circumstances make you shrink back. You step forward into the call of God and let him take you higher than you can ever imagine. Romans 8:38, we're going to read in a little while. It says here, actually, I'm going to read right now. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Not other people's actions. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Sometimes even our own mistakes, our own failed grade on a paper, or whatever it is, nothing can separate us from God's love. And in Joseph's case, nothing that Potiphar does to you, nothing that Potiphar's wife falsely accuses you of is going to separate you, Joseph, from my blessing, from my love. But you got to wait for it. You got to watch for God. You got to wait for it and see how he's going to weave that blessing. He's not going to give it like a blanket. It's going to be more like a quilt. He's going to weave that blessing for you. And so the story goes on. Does Joseph give up? Did Joseph say, this is too much, this obeying God doesn't pay off? You know, you turn on late night TV, you flip through the channels, you see people with a blessing water and the blessing handkerchief, 1995, you know, do this and you'll get the blessing. You don't see that in Joseph. You don't see that. You see a Joseph who is committed to his relationship to his father, and he keeps on going. And so he prospers. He prospers. But there's another setback. There are two men who come to him, the chief butler and the chief baker, and they come to him and they share a dream that they have, and Joseph's able to interpret it. For one, the story has a bad ending. For the other, it's okay, and he gets out. And Joseph says, remember me when you go up. Remember me when you go up. Don't leave me here. And what does the person do? The person is free, and they promise Joseph, but they forget him. And they leave them there 2 more years. Joseph's life's starting to sound like the stock market. Up and down, up and down. How many of you feel like your life is like the stock market at times? Up and down, up and down. Seems like, oh, I cleared that hurdle, and here comes another one. That is what's going on in the life of Joseph. But Joseph continues to stay faithful. And finally, 2 years later, that chief butler, there must have been some personal gain in it for him, but he finally mentions Joseph's name. Joseph comes up, and Joseph prospers again. And now he is in a position of power. And now Joseph can be used by God in a way that he never could have been used had he not gone through the pain, had he not gone through the persecution. God is able to use Joseph. There have been several of you that have gone through pain this year. And there have been one or two times where I've said, you know, I know someone who went through pain like that 20 years ago in this church. And I'm going to call them and ask them to pray for you. God never wastes a hurt if we give it to him. God never wastes a hurt, never wastes a pain if we give it to him. And Joseph just kept on giving himself over to God. Finally, we get down to the end of the story of Joseph. And his brothers come, and his brothers finally realize who they are, who he is. And they, what is their first thought? Revenge. That he's going to get revenge on us. Have you ever been falsely accused of something? And after a while, you figured out the reason why they're accusing me of that is because they would do that if they were in this situation. Joseph's brothers are accusing him of going after him or thinking he's going to go after them. Why? Because that's how their heart is. That's how they are. And Joseph doesn't lose focus. Joseph, in fact, comes back. And God is not a believer in revenge. But a side effect of following the will of God is you get to kind of walk past people who've tried to put you down. You get to walk past people who've tried to hem and haw and peck and scratch. You get to walk past those people and let it be evident that God has had a blessing on you and your life. And so when they come to Joseph, and when they are scared of him, Joseph says this, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. No matter where you are, trust God. Very good. I'm not going to ask you to do that again. That was good. That was good. No matter where you are, trust God. So Joseph gets to the place where God finally says, I've weaved this blessing and you are here. And Joseph still, in his most successful, highest place, he remembers where it all came from. He remembers where the blessing come from. And he doesn't look for revenge. He keeps looking to God and trusting in God. I shared with my youth this morning. I said, you know, I said, I don't know about you. I said, but sometimes I say, God, why can't you give me this lesson amidst like the flowers and the daisies and the nice stuff of life, you know? But I know myself. And I told the youth, I don't know if you can relate to this. Sometimes when things are going super, super well, my heart tends to party, all right? And sometimes when things are not going so well, my heart tends to ponder, and I start finding myself more on my knees and start finding myself more relying on God. And what Joseph learns to do, Joseph learns that, you know what? I need to trust God in my success and in the times when things are not going well. Because we can start living this flat tire Christianity where the only times we're on our knees is when the tire is flat, the car won't start, the bills are coming in faster than the checks are. And we could develop this flat tire Christianity. But what Joseph learned at a very young age is whether things are going bad or whether things are going prosperous, trust God completely and wholeheartedly. Years ago, this was 11 years ago, I went to Love Field in Dallas, Texas. And Drew was 3 at the time. And I'd been working in social services. And there was this opportunity. A couple friends of mine worked with Southwest Airlines. And they said, Darren, why don't you check this out? You know, it's a great opportunity. You can work 3 days on and 4 days off. You get more time with Drew. It's awesome, you know. They didn't tell me that I would have to live like in Baltimore or Oakland or something like that. Yeah. And so I went out and I checked it out. And there was some training there. And we were in this hotel called the Harvey Hotel there. And we were in training. And I knew I had to leave my previous position. There was just a wall, a ceiling, and I couldn't get past it. And it was just time to move on. And so I took this opportunity. And I went out there. And I'm here to tell you, nothing went right. Like, nothing went right. And I started to say, am I doing the wrong thing by being here? But what I learned was that, you know what? I'm in a hotel. I'm in training. I'm studying all the time, all the stuff about the airline industry. And what I learned was that for 3 weeks, God had my attention. For 3 weeks, God just had my attention. And there was a call when I was there. And there was a call to do writing, and there was a call to do ministry. And I said, Lord, number one, I've never written a thing in my life. And I said, number two, Lord, I said, I'm a single dad, in case you don't know. Single dads don't get hired at churches, you know. And so I told God what the limitations were. And I think God might have had a chuckle with that. I'm not sure. But I had this overwhelming sense that things were going to be different. And I stayed there and I stayed there. And I remember it was time for, we went from the written part of things to the evacuation part of things. And they took us into this room where there was a huge plane, much bigger than this one here. All right. And they had a whole entire cabin. And they filled that cabin with this fake smoke. They used dry ice, and they filled this cabin with fake smoke. And each and every one of us had to get every single person out of there by a certain time. And if we didn't, we were told hypothetically those people would no longer be with us, okay? So it was a lot of stress. And they would have people standing there screaming at us, yelling at us, telling us we weren't doing it right just for the fun of it, because they wanted to see how we can handle stressful situations. And so they trained us how to do this little talk. You remember this little talk, you know, about the mask on the top and about the thing and all that stuff. And all of a sudden they sat you down and you were all relaxed. And all of a sudden, there's all this noise, and everybody's screaming, and here comes this fake smoke. And you had to get people under the smoke. You had to, first of all, get people to do their masks right, all right? And they had some people be the children, you know, to see if they do it right. Because what do people most want to do? They want to take that mask, and they want to hand it to the kid first. Well, guess what? Usually, by the time you get the mask to the kid, neither one of you are going to be in good shape, all right? So they would try to teach us, get that mask on your face first. Get the oxygen first, then help the person next to you. And then came the moment where some people went over and they had to pop the door. There was a little emergency exit door. And so many people just would look straight at the thing and pop that, and that thing would shoot right out. And we had several people get knocked in the head. And they told us, listen, when you do that, you turn your head sideways and pull it. All right? And so we did all of that. And then finally, they dropped the big balloon slide down on the side. That was the fun part, all right? But we had to get everybody had to do this. And by the end of the day, we were exhausted. I mean, we had 40, 50 people, and every one of us had to be part of the drill. Every single one of us had to be part of the drill. And so the thing would start, and some of us would have all of the techniques down, but we'd forget the first one. And this is a makeshift oxygen mask right here, okay? Brought to you by Apria Healthcare and Home Depot, all right? But this mask would drop, and people would take it, and they would put it on the kid first, you know, or they would give the wrong instructions, and they would do everything else right, and the instructor at the end of it would say, you know what? You did everything else right except get yourself the oxygen. They said, because of that, it doesn't matter what else you did right. You failed. It doesn't matter what else you did right. You wouldn't have made it. Or you and your kids wouldn't have made it. And so it was an interesting lesson. And as I reflected on this, through the years, I have to say that in the life of Joseph, Joseph was able to bless his brothers. He was able to bless the people. He was able to help because he took the oxygen. He took the connection from God first. He took that first. He didn't look around and say, what do my brothers want me to do? What do the people, what is my dad telling me to do? That wasn't his first question. That was an important question, but wasn't his first question. First question was, what does God want me to do? So the question for you and I today is, are you and I willing to do the first step and connect with God? Connect with God in a way that makes us soar like eagles. No matter what other people do, it makes us soar like eagles with him. That is the question. Vacation Bible School, we came down to around June 8th, and we found out we didn't look like we were going to be able to have a Vacation Bible School this year. And it was late in the game, and we weren't sure if we had any money, we weren't sure if we had any resources. And Pastor Will and I talked right outside there and thought, we're going to have to cancel Vacation Bible School. And I have to admit, I looked at the workload that all the kids were doing, and I said, you know, they've worked hard, and they've done a lot, so there's going to be other things for them to do. But I was feeling a little sad, like, well, Vacation Bible School was kind of fun last year. But I thought, you know what, you can only do what you can do. And so I went home, and I prayed. I got on my knees next to my bed, and I said, Lord, before we cancel this thing, I said, I just want to give this to you. I said, if you want to send people, not people saying they're going to commit, but people who are committed, I said, if you want to do that, if you want to stop us from canceling it, you do that. And that day, I had four people call me on the phone. First one was April Alcantara, all right? Called me on the phone, said, Darren, do not cancel Vacation Bible School. We will do whatever it takes to help you go with it. Do not cancel Vacation Bible School. And so I said, April, I said, we need several people. We have no plan. The latest we can do this is July. It's June. We haven't really started on this thing. I've never led a VBS thing before. I said, but I will consider that. I will pray about it. But don't get your hopes up. Looks like we're going to cancel it. 2 hours later, Yesmin Sosa, she doesn't say things quite as nice to me sometimes. She said, Pastor Darren, wow, you're going to cancel VBS? That's how she said it. Wow, really? And she said, Pastor Darren, you can't. And I said, well, Yesmin, that's wonderful, but what is your plan? She said, if you go with VBS, I'll be there and I will help in any way I can. I promise you. And I'd known Yesmin enough at Pathfinders that she's not one of these that says she's going to volunteer. You never see her. She says she'd volunteer. She's there the next day, all right? She might be there that afternoon, all right? But she's going to volunteer. She's gonna put her muscle where her mouth is, all right? And so I said, okay, Yesmin. I said, I'll pray about it, but don't get your hopes up. That night, Diane Saldana, Heidi Sanchez, get on the phone. Pastor Darren, I think they both texted me. Pastor Darren, do not cancel Vacation Bible School. We will do whatever it takes to help. We're going to tell our moms, and we're going to make VBS happen. So four people in one day, that's when I started to think, God, I think you might not want me to cancel this Vacation Bible School. And so we called together a meeting, and we went over here, and we took about 12 hours, and we made one sign, all right? We thought, well, at this pace, we could have VBS by Christmas. We're on a roll, all right? Made a couple clouds. We were quite proud of ourselves. But we said, we really need some miracles. And when we pray for miracles, don't be surprised. God sends people. And I am not allowed to mention a name, but one of the moms stepped forward and says, I'm going to help you organize this. And she said, you know, she speaks mostly Spanish. I speak mostly English. She said, but somehow God's going to help us communicate. We're going to get this done. So that first day we offered all the volunteers and we had about six people. We're like, oh boy. Okay. So we said, we're just going to go small scale. We're going to go small scale. All right. And then, but this group of small people kept praying and kept showing up, kept staying till midnight, kept staying till 1 o'clock in the morning. And the room started to look better. And then Azure Hills said, you know what? We want to give away all of our clouds, our airplane, 14-foot by 6-foot airplane. Do you want them? Yes. I was like, yes. So that video, we are saying a big thank you to Azure Hills in that video. We're going to send it to them to play in their church, all right? Now, Azure Hills had 350 kids, okay? 350 kids. So we had enough stuff for 300, enough decorations for 350 kids. But I'm here to tell you something. They had a lot of kids who went to Calamasas Vacation Bible School, Loma Linda's Vacation Bible School. They had a lot of kids from the community doing, you know, the different Adventist churches, okay? We're looking around and the other Adventist churches are not going to have a lot of people coming here. So we're thinking 30, you know, should we aim for 25, 30 kids, keep it small? We don't know. So we just kept praying. We took a U-Haul up to Azure Hills, got all their stuff, came down, decorated the room. And then we asked for volunteers, and we had 30 volunteers show up. And then the volunteers went up to 35, and then went up to 40. And we got to the first night of EBS on July 22nd, and we passed out. We took Razor scooters, a couple of kids, and we passed out 285 flyers in the community, all right? All right? We had a lot of kids stepping up who had communities needed community service. We had people step up who needed no community service. Jackson Estrada, Martin Roque, Cesar Saldana, guys who were done with their community service years ago. The venture leader stepped in and helped us. People just said, we're here to help. We're here to help. And while we were preparing for this thing, whenever we get down and say, this is not going to work, people would say, everything is possible with God. You know, and we'd say it kind of as a joke, but it started to sink in. Everything is possible with God. We're going to be okay. But there's nothing more nerve-wracking than showing up the first night and you have 40 volunteers. And the question started to come, am I going to have 40 volunteers and 70 and 7 kids? You know, like the first, like from 5:30 to 6 was the most awkward half hour ever, okay? And I'm sitting there, we have 40 volunteers and about 7-8 kids, and it starts to grow, okay? Tim interviewed me while I was walking down by the garden there. And I said upwards to 80 kids. And Indina Saldana came to me last night and she showed me. She said, Pastor Darren, we haven't been able to keep, you know, we haven't been able to count heads. We haven't had time. She said, we had 110 kids. And many of them are not Seventh-day Adventists. Many of them are not members of this church. They came from the community. And every single night we fed people. And the parents would sit through and listen to the whole thing. We had 110 kids, but you can't include the volunteers and you include the parents. We had church over there, all right? We had almost 200 people over in that side every single night. And VBS is usually 3 nights, 4 nights. We went 6 nights, all right? 6 nights. And I'm here to tell you that I think the kids experienced God, and I think the kids got something out of it. I think our volunteers, especially those ones who God put it on their heart to help, I think they were the ones, and myself included, who were really changed to say, you know what? We need to change our perspective from what it looks like on the outward to what God can do. And so this Sabbath, I thank you that you were all willing to show up today to be a little bit of a kid, because this is not about us. This is about God. This is not about us trusting our own instincts, trusting our own talents. This is about us trusting God. And God has said, if you give me that little bit, I will take it and I will do many things with that. I will do things that will blow your mind. If you just give me that little bit, doesn't matter if you're 17, doesn't matter if you're a Roman soldier, doesn't matter if it looks like you're going to have to cancel things, God says, you know what, I'm here and I will show up. We're going to sing a song in a second. Is why we do everything we do. And that is because of God's faithfulness. It is because of the faithfulness of God. Years ago, Drew had a dream that he and I were standing at Sandy Academy, and there were fireworks in the sky, fireworks that had blown the Olympic ceremony in London away. And he said, Jesus came. Jesus came. And I said, I have never had a dream of Jesus coming. And I was kind of envious of him. Then we moved up to Redlands, and everything was going really well. And Drew had a dream that we were at Redlands Academy, and the field started to flood, and he and I started to drown. And Jesus came again. And he said, Jesus reached down, and he grabbed us both, and he pulled us. I had no idea. I was like, wow, that's powerful. My son has had 2 dreams of the second coming of Christ. But we went through some things in the coming months that I knew exactly why God gave Drew that dream. I know exactly why God gave Drew that dream. And I'm here to tell you today that we can trust God's word. And Christ said he is coming again. And another thing is, Christ shows up in our day-to-day lives. Not just at the second coming, but day in, day out. When we think we can't take it anymore, when we think we're not going to make it, when we think there's way more month than there is money, and we're not going to make it, watch for God. And keep putting your faith in God. Keep talking to the community. Keep talking and sharing what our needs are. But keep looking and watching for God. Because Jesus has said he's coming again. But we don't have to sit back and just wait. He is actively alive in our lives now. And that makes all the difference. So when you get down, when things get too hard for you, look beyond the clouds. And look to the one who is coming on the clouds of glory. Because Jesus Christ will deliver. No matter what, trust God. Let us sing together. Stand as we close. Jesus is coming again.
Lift up the trumpet and let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, you pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Echo with hilltop, proclaim with you plains. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Nations are angry.